All right, let's open our Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 tonight. We're going to study something tonight that I trust will be an encouragement to you. And I hope you have your Bible. We're going to look at, we're going to be turning to several verses over in the middle of the lesson tonight. Actually, at the beginning of lesson two. But let me begin here in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. And let's begin in verse 1. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." Now, notice Luke gives us then a little parenthesis. And that little parenthesis is real important. Look at it. It says, in verse, first part of the verse, because he saw that it pleased the Jews, Herod, proceeded to further to take Peter also. And Luke adds, when Herod had Peter in custody. You with me? All right, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm just trying to get you to see the whole thing here. All right, then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter. All right, y'all got that? Now, make sure I'm not reading that wrong. Intending after, what's your Bible say? Easter. Very good. To bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. All right, I want to, let me give you what precipitated all this. I had a conversation last week with a fellow who said that the King James Bible has some mistranslations. And I said, "Really? Yeah. Name one." And he said, "Well, Easter in Acts 12." And I'm going to show you tonight it's not mistranslated. All right? So keep your Bible open and let's learn something tonight. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for what you have taught me this last week as I've studied. Now, Lord, help me as I try to teach it. And Lord, I pray the power of God to be upon the lesson tonight. Lord, your word is amazing. And Lord, we're going to look at some of the wonders of this book tonight. And so I pray that you will bless us. And Lord, we never get over the things that are in this book. Help us never to get over it. But Lord, to realize that this is your inspired word. And Lord, you said so. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So, Lord, help us to see the wonder of this book. And may we, as the psalmist, just stand in awe of thy word. Bless us now, Lord. Open our minds and hearts and give us understanding. And, Lord, help me as I speak. I really need you to help me tonight. I want to be a blessing. And, Lord, I want to share the things that you've taught me this week. So bless us, Lord. Help us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you tonight on a subject that I hope will be a blessing to you. We're coming upon the month of April, and April is an important month on the calendar, religiously, from several different standpoints. There are major holidays in the month of April for just about every major religion on the planet. You'll find religious observances are celebrated in April by Christians, by Jews, by Buddhists, and by Muslims. The Jews have their Passover in April. The Christians celebrate Easter. The Buddhists celebrate the birth of Buddha. And the Muslims celebrate the final day of Hajj, which is one of the five pillars of Islam. Hajj is where you, in your lifetime, at least once in your lifetime, have to make a journey to one of the holy sites, preferably Mecca in Saudi Arabia. And so in the month of April, you have these celebrations by the Jews, by the Christians, the Jews Passover, the Christians Easter, the Buddhists, the birth of Buddha, and the Muslims, the final day of Hajj. Now, we're all familiar with the Passover. We studied it a couple of months ago on Wednesday night. And the Jewish Passover commemorates the when the Israelites were liberated from Egypt, when they were set free from ancient Egypt, the day that they prepared the Passover feast, and then the death angel came over. They took the blood from the lamb and they put it on the doorpost and on the sidepost. And when the angel of the Lord passed over, he said, "If I see the blood, I will pass over you." Thus the term Passover. And so the Jews celebrate the Passover, and that is, of course, looking back to when they were set free from Egypt. The Christian holiday of Easter commemorates the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. 3 days and nights, he was in the heart of the earth after he was crucified, and on the third day, which was on a Sunday, Sunday morning, he was crucified on Wednesday, not Friday. It was Wednesday. There's no way you get 3 days and three nights out of a Friday crucifixion. So you say, well, how do you get 3 days and three nights out of a Wednesday crucifixion? Well, the Jewish day starts at 6 in the evening. And so so he was crucified on Wednesday, put in the ground before 6 o'clock on Wednesday. So Wednesday, 6 o'clock to Thursday, 6 o'clock, that's one day. Thursday to Friday, that's 2 days. Friday to Saturday, that's 3 days. And then at 6 o'clock on Saturday, it's no longer Saturday, but it's Sunday to the Jews. Where do they get that? Well, they get that out of Genesis 1 when it says that God on the first day created the heaven and the earth. And then he says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So their day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, and it goes to 6 o'clock in the evening. All right, so the Christian holiday of Easter commemorates the resurrection of Jesus from the dead 3 days after he was crucified, and he resurrected on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Easter is always on the first Sunday following the full moon that occurs on or after March 21st. All right? You notice Easter is not like Christmas. Christmas is always on December 25th. All right? So it's always the same 25th every year, 25th. But Easter fluctuates the date. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late. Why? Well, because years ago when they established the calendar, they said that Easter is always on the first Sunday following the full moon that occurs on or after March the 21st. That is why Easter changes from year to year. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late. It all depends on when. Is all dependent upon the first full moon on or after March the 21st of that year. Now, listen very carefully. I've said to you many, many times in 14 years that for everything, God has given us, the devil has a counter for it. The devil is a master counterfeiter. God has a Bible. Satan has his Bibles. God has his church. Satan has his church. Churches. God has a gospel. And the devil counters with what Paul called other gospels, which he went on to say, which are not gospels, but they think they are. And then the devil has countered both Christmas and Easter, and has just about destroyed everything godly, Christ-like, and just about every biblical connotation that was given to us in the Word of God. Now, here in this text, Herod is doing all he can to persecute the church. In verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And then he had the Apostle Peter arrested and thrown in jail. And I want you to go back to the little parentheses that is found in verse 3. Notice the little parentheses there. He informs us that this happened during the days of unleavened bread. In verse 4, we learn that Herod's intent was to keep Peter imprisoned during the week of unleavened bread and then to bring him before the people after Easter. All right, now, everybody see the timeline? All right, you got the feast of the unleavened bread and Peter was put in jail and the intent by Herod was to bring him before the people to try him, so to speak, to bring him before the people and have him condemned to execution. But he was going to do it after Easter. All right, so evidently the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and Easter are two separate occasions, not the same time. You with me? All right, so see the timeline. Now, the Greek word that is used here is the word pascha, P-A-S-C-H-A. This word is used 29 times in the New Testament. And 28 of those times, it is rendered Passover. Passover. Now, question, do you see Passover anywhere in that verse? You don't, do you? That's because it's not there. It's not there. The word Passover is nowhere in this text. 28 times it's rendered Passover, referring all 28 times to the Jewish holiday that we just spoke about a minute ago, which was established and ordained by God on the night the children of Israel took off from Egypt, headed towards the land of Canaan, where they escaped the wrath of the death angel in Egypt. But here in Acts 12:4, it was translated Easter by the King James translators. Now, critics of the King James Bible have pointed to this verse and they have said, see, the King James Bible is wrong here. The King James Bible is not perfect like you fundamental nut jobs say it is. This is a mistranslation. It's wrong. And to that I say to you, no, it is not wrong. It is right. And by the way, the King James Version of the Bible is the only English translation, of which there are over 425 now. It is the only English translation that translates the word as Easter in verse 4. All the rest of them translate it Passover. All right, so it is the only Bible in the English, the only English translation that translates it as Easter. All the rest of them translate it as Passover. All right, now, you say, well, all right, what's the point, Pastor? All right, listen very carefully. First thing we're going to do tonight is look at the timeline. The key which unravels the timeline is not what is said in verse 4, but what is said in verse 3, in the little parentheses that Luke put in there for us. You know, when you're telling a story and then you stop and you put a little parentheses in there, you're explaining something a little further. You're giving a little more detail. That's the idea behind it. And Luke stops here and gives us, kind of fills in the blank to help us understand the timeline. In verse 3, we are told that Peter was arrested during the days or in the days of unleavened bread. Now, the Jews had their Passover, and then following the Passover was this 7 days of celebration called the Days of Unleavened Bread. All right, now watch. Now get this, Passover first. And not just hit and miss, not just once in a while, no, every time. Passover was first. And then you had 7 days called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And so every time. Now, look at verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Parentheses. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So watch. The Passover had already happened. Right? So it was now during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, somewhere in that 7 day period when the Apostle Peter was arrested and put in jail. Passover's already done. It was this little parenthesis that gives us the understanding of the word Easter here in a minute. So we're headed there. So notice Luke put it in there for us. We would not have known this had Luke not put that parenthesis in there. We wouldn't have known it. It's amazing. All right, now, let me show you the Passover and the days of unleavened bread in the Scripture. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. This is Moses getting the law from God, and God says to them, observe the month of Abib. You know what Abib is? April. Abib is April. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the, what? Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib did the Lord thy God... month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock of the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it 7 days. You get it? 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at even remain all night until morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, and the season that thou camest forth, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning to go unto thy tents. 6 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. All right, so notice, 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread. So what do? You have the Passover first, you offer the Passover lamb, and then 7 days of celebration. All right, go back to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Tell them we're busy. We don't have time to bring them anything deep. Somebody's car went off. Jerry, that sounds like yours. Yours went off the other day. Huh? It is in the back. Is it? Might be mine. Go check it, John. Exodus 12. But I got the key. You don't have the key, so you don't have control. You don't have control. You're going to keep on. You're going to keep on. Look at verse 13, please. It says, "And the blood shall be to you," Exodus 12, 13, "and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast and an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And it shall, and in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread." All right, so here, exact words that we found in Acts 12. All right, the feast of unleavened bread. All right, everybody got that? So you can see in verse 15 Exodus 12 here, that 7 days after the Passover, those 7 days were called the days of unleavened bread. All right, so which came first, the Passover or the days of unleavened bread? Well, according to the Bible, the Passover came first. It always came first, and then was followed by the days of unleavened bread. Now, Herod, going back to Acts now, go back to Acts. Herod was going to wait until after Easter to put Peter before the Jews. Now, folks, if this was not the Passover, if it was after the week of unleavened bread, then what was this day that Herod was waiting on? All right, now listen very carefully. It was a pagan holiday that was called Easter. It was called Easter after the goddess that they bowed to. her name, you've heard it before, Ishtar. Her name was dependent on what time in history you read her name. Her name was Ishtar. It was sometimes called Astarte. Star, Start, Astarte, Ishtar. Are you letting that sink in? All right. Now, who was Astarte? Ishtar or Astarte was, or Isis, if you're Egyptian, Isis. All right. Who was Astarte? Astarte was the fertility goddess of pagan Babylon. She was the goddess of the spring and was supposed to have had bunnies that laid eggs. Serious. That's what they believed. This was to symbolize and signify new life. And they colored the eggs to signify a wish for the bright new year ahead. Winter's over. Spring is dawned. And so they celebrated, they worshiped the pagan societies. God's people weren't to do this, but I'm going to show you that they did, and that's why they lost their kingdom. But God's people weren't to do this, but the Babylonians, the pagans, did it. And she was called in ancient Babylonian literature, are you ready? The Queen of Heaven. Does that sound familiar to anybody? She was called the Queen of Heaven in Babylonian literature. Wonder where they got that. Well, certainly not from the Bible, I can tell you that. And this was the day, this was the Easter that Herod was waiting for. Not the Jewish Passover. The Jewish Passover happened before Peter was arrested. He was arrested after Passover during the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it was after the arrest that Herod determined to wait until after Easter to bring him before the people so that he could have done to Peter what he had done to James, have him executed. Now, you know the rest of the chapter here. They prayed him out of prison. All right? Wasn't time yet. Peter did eventually get his head lobbed off, but not by Herod, by Caesar. All right? So get the time frame now. Get the idea. You say, well, wait a minute. What's Herod doing celebrating Easter? Folks, get today's concept and idea of Easter out of your head. There was no Easter in the Christian church back 5, 6, 7, 8 years after Christ resurrected and went to heaven. There was no holiday. Every Sunday was Easter to the early church. That's why they met on Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. The actual event of Easter holiday was not something, was something that was established many hundreds of years later by Catholicism. But when Herod here says that he wanted to wait till after Easter, it was not a Bible holiday, it was a pagan holiday. It was idolatry. It was the pagan world bowing down to the Babylonian goddess of fertility, whose name was Astarte, Ishtar. By the way, Easter, Ishtar, Easter. You with me? Amen. All right, now, not the Jewish Passover. Secondly, I'm saying to you tonight, and it's title of the study tonight, Easter is a good word. Easter is a good word. Look at the corruption of a good word. I said in my introduction that the devil counterfeits everything God does. When the Catholic Church claimed Easter as the first Sunday after the first full moon that occurs on or after March 21st and proclaimed it as the day to celebrate Christ's resurrection from the dead, the devil kicked into high gear. Today, he gets men away from the truth about Easter, away from the main thing with all these sideshows that surround Easter, like Lent. I wonder where that is in this Bible. It's not in there. Like Lent, Fat Tuesday, you know, Mardi Gras. That's French for bad Tuesday. The idea is Lent is on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. That's when you go get the ashes in your forehead and you say that you're going to fast and you're going to give up sin and you're going to be good. So on Tuesday, before Wednesday comes, you go drink and live like the devil. You don't even remember going and getting ashes on your forehead because you've partied too hardy on Fat Tuesday. All right? So where's that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. Then you got Maundy Thursday. I have no idea what that is. Then you got colored eggs. Good Friday. I think every Friday's good. I love Friday. Friday is my second favorite day of the week. My first favorite day of the week is Monday because I'm off on Monday. But I love Friday. All Fridays are good Friday in my book. All right? You can't find a bit of this stuff in the Bible. Eggs, bunnies, ducks, candy, new clothes. Where is all that in the Bible? It's not there. As a matter of fact, you read over in Paul's writings to Timothy, Paul condemns this stuff. He condemns it and says it ought not be in the Christian church. All right? Now, where do you find all this? All right? Now, let me show you something amazing. East is really a good Bible word. I want to show you a pattern that develops around this word, and you can see why and how the devil has corrupted it and turned it into something disgraceful. The word East is a good word, and it has much biblical significance. Now, I'm not going to have you turn to all these verses because I won't have time for you to turn and stop and read them. I won't get done, and I'm going to leave you hanging. Write them down. Go home and look at them. Genesis 2, verse 8, first time it's mentioned. God put the Garden of Eden eastward. Eastward. Oh, you got to turn to this one. Go to Numbers. If I don't finish tonight, we'll finish Sunday night. How's that? Go to Numbers 2. Numbers chapter 2. And look, please, at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard with the ensign of their father's house far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the what side? Not the west, not the north, not the south. On the east side toward the rising of the sun. Did you get that? On the east, toward the rising of the sun. Now, folks, listen. Tomorrow morning, the sun is going to come up. Right now, it's dark outside. But the sun's going to come up in the morning. And when it does, when it comes up, it will come up in the east, right? Now, we're pretty much guaranteed that's going to happen. I mean, for as long as we've been on the planet, that's what's happened. The sun always comes up out of the east. Notice the connection. On the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch. All right. Now, let's see, Joshua chapter 12. Joshua chapter 12. You got to turn. Joshua chapter 12. I got to show you these, folks. You can't just take my word for it. Joshua chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun. Remember we talked about how when God led them out of Egypt, the shortest distance would have been just to go right up to the Mediterranean and then just 100 miles and they would have been in Canaan. Remember that? Remember that? They could have been there in 2 or 3 days. 4 days, 5 days max. They could have been there in no time. But what did God do? God took them down and wound them all around and brought them over here and brought them in on the east side. Brought them in on the east. And notice what God said about that in verse 1. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan towards the rising of the sun. Turn over quickly to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Look at verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Now notice here in this verse, notice here that the rising of the sun is connected to the Redeemer. You with me? All right. Now, look at chapter 60. Just the next chapter. Verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Hey, when Jesus comes back and sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and then walks down, he goes through what gate? The Eastern Gate. Folks, what I'm want you to see here, there are many other verses that I could show you. I mean, take any concordance and look up the word east or eastern or eastward or sun or shine or arise, and you will see picture after picture after picture of the resurrection, of the fact that Jesus died and was buried and then was raised again on the third day. And when he comes back, it's always coming from the east, where the sun rises. All right? Now, New Testament, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're almost there, so hold on. Pull it together for you here in just a second. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. All right, now he's talking about the fact that he was on the mount of the transfiguration and he saw Jesus glorified. That's what he's talking about. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the exceeding glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. We heard it, but we have also a more sure word of prophecy. What is it? Yeah, the Bible. We have a more sure word of prophecy, Peter says, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a what? Light. Why would you need light? Because of darkness. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Until the what? Day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Folks, when it's daylight, you can only see one star. Our sun, the day star. That's the only star you can see during the daytime. That's it. What is this day star? This day star is that big ball of gas in the sky that we call the sun. And from which direction does the sun rise every day? It rises in the east every single day. No exception to that. And the promise, here it is now, and the promise of God from the very beginning was that Jesus would come the first time to redeem us, but that he would come the second time to rule and to reign with us. Now, I know you're turning a lot. I know you are, so I won't have you turn this. You remember, do you remember Genesis 3:15? The proto-evangelium, the first mention of the gospel, proto-first evangelium gospel, where he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He shall bruise thy heel, but thou shalt crush his head. Bruise his head. Blow to the head's a death blow. God prophesied way back when man sinned that the Redeemer was coming, and when he came, he was going to, that the serpent was going to crush his heel. That's not a death blow. That's not a death blow. But that's what happened. Jesus died, but he resurrected. He resurrected. But when he comes back, he is going to give the devil a death blow. Now, Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. And that sure word is all of the promises in this book of the day star rising. The fact that Jesus is coming again in power with the full light of God shining in a dark place. The point is, folks, the east is where the sun rises. Every day, God gives us a reminder of his promise from the day star, from Jesus Christ, from the righteous Son of God, from the righteous man from the east. I'm saying, folks, that the east is connected to, and it points to, all the way through the Bible, the victorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying the east always in the Bible has the connotation of the rising of the Son of Righteousness. Therefore, the word Easter is not a pagan word, not a bad word. It is God showing us his plan, his promise, his program. It only has become corrupted by the devil, who seeks to corrupt every good thing that God gives to us. Isn't it amazing, folks, that when the sun sets in the evening, that the sky turns red, blood red, a picture every day of the blood of his son covering the earth. And then the darkness follows, and we see the night. A picture of Christ going down into the darkness of hell to take the keys away from the devil for those 3 days and three nights. And then the darkness is shattered by the rising of the sun. A picture of the Son of God resurrecting out of the darkness of sin and death and hell. Go to the book of Malachi, or go to Matthew chapter 1 and then go back a page. Malachi chapter 4. Look at verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, And all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hey, folks, do you see what God just did? God just told you that Jesus was the day star. God just told you that Jesus was the sun. God just told you, using a metaphor, using a play on words, that Jesus was the S-U-N of righteousness. He is the light. There is no light other than his light. Now, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. God gave it all the way back in Genesis chapter 2 when he put Eden, when he put man in the east. It starts right there. You can run it through. You can chase it all the way through the Bible. And the east is always looking and pointing to the resurrected Savior, to the fact that Jesus conquered sin and death, and that he's coming again so that you and I can conquer death. And it's all the way through the Bible. Now, wait a minute. Don't you think the devil didn't know that? He knew that. And so, when the pagan Babylonians came along, you remember what happened there? You remember? You had the divided kingdom back here, and then here came the Babylonians, and they conquered Jerusalem, Judah, and they carried Daniel and all. Remember when we studied Daniel? Carried them all back. What did they do? They brought their religion with them. They brought their religion with them, and they set up their religion. And who did they worship? They worshiped a star. My friends, if I'm not mistaken, Jesus is the bright morning star. Jesus is the day star, not Astarte, not Ishtar. And so what happened? Well, the Babylonians, they brought their religion, and a part of their religion was this ceremony that I described for you. They had this goddess. They named her Astarte, Ishtar, the goddess of the east. And they worshiped her. And she had little bunnies, and the bunnies laid eggs, and it was the start of the spring season, and this pagan religion was huge. Now wait a minute, Herod, going back to Acts, Herod was an Edomite. He was not a Jew. He was a pagan. And so when he decided, well, we're going to wait till after Easter, he was waiting until after the celebration of the Babylonian Astarte religion. And so now, 400 years later, are you listening? 400 years later, all of a sudden, the Catholic Church, the world's church, decides we got to have a day. And so they said, this is it. The first Sunday after the first full moon, on or after March 21st. That's going to be Ishtar Day. Easter. So I don't look at it that way. Now, I'm not saying you do. I'm just telling you where it came from. And that's where it came from. And so when they established it, 1600 years ago, what did they do? They brought their eggs and their bunnies, and they brought it up. And today, 2010, lo and behold, we still got it here. I'm saying that everything that God gives, the devil has a counter for it. Think of Christmas. Just think of Christmas. Man, the birth of our Savior. That's what that's about. But what we got? We got some great big fat guy wearing red, scaring everybody to death, coming down your chimney at night. That used to scare me to death when I was a kid. I said, Dad, we don't have a chimney. We didn't. We had a little box house. two bedrooms. My brother and I slept in one. Mom and Dad slept in the other. We didn't have a chimney. And I said, Dad, how in the world is he going to get... We don't have a chimney. My dad said, see that hole right there in the roof? That's where the attic... You go up the attic there. You come through the attic. That attic was in the hallway right outside my door. Man, I'm sitting in there shaking in my boots. I got a shoe in my hand. I said, that joker comes through there, I'm going to knock him in the head. It's all the focus turned away from the truth. So, folks, the next time someone comes along to you and says, well, or if anybody ever comes along to you and says, well, the King James Bible is not accurate. It's not perfect like your crazy pastor says it is, because it translates Pascha in Acts 12:4 as Easter. And you can now realize that they don't know what they're talking about, because it does not. It is not a mistranslation. Easter. It means someone from the east. Just like southerner means someone from the south. And Easter, someone from the east. And so when they come along and they tell you that, they're just realize that they're trying to impress you that they know something about Greek. Because that's their argument. The word's translated wrong. And it is not translated wrong. You can be assured that Herod was not celebrating the Christian holiday of Easter. They did not have such a creature in the first century church. It was non-existent. He was celebrating the pagan Babylonian celebration. So the next, if you ever hear it, if anybody ever comes up and says it, you just smile at him and you look at him and you say, look here, hush. You don't speak Greek. I know that angered a lot of you when I preached that sermon. Some of you, not a lot of you. Okay, three or four. I know it angered some people. But let me tell you something, folks. You don't speak Greek, you speak English. And God gave you His word. Right here it is. Now, quit doubting it. Quit questioning it. You know the guys that translated this Bible? They spoke Greek fluently. They learned it when they were toddlers. They were brilliant. And God brought 70 some of them together, put them in one college so they could translate the Bible for you and for me. And it is the epitome of pride for some little tuber squirt who has had two semesters of Greek to open up his Greek New Testament and say, that word's translated wrong in the King James Bible. Oh, hush, you don't speak Greek. And it's destroying a lot of people's faith. I don't know about you folks, I'm just going to believe the Bible. I'm just going to believe the Bible. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it 100 more. You can trust your King James Bible. When they translated that Easter, they knew exactly what they were talking about. The caveat is that little parentheses. That's what gives you the clue. Passover, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, then the pagan ceremony. You ever notice that we don't have these four observations here, these four, Passover, Easter, Buddha's birthday, and Hajj. You ever notice we don't have them on the same Sunday? Never do. Why? Oh, we don't want to step on somebody's toes. And they didn't have it on the same day either. They had the Passover, then the feast, then they had Ishtar, Easter. It is nothing more than a corruption by the devil that started all the way back in Babylon. May God give us faith in this book.